Psalm 91, let's read together. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, "The Lord is my refuge," and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent, for He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Praise God for His word. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is sweeter than honey. And Lord, we pray as we hear your word explained, we've heard it read. Lord, please would you help us to hide your word in our hearts. Lord, increase our love for you and your Son, the Lord Jesus, we pray in his name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So it's common knowledge that knife crime is a big issue in London and in many cities in the UK. However, if you live in America, bullets are a big issue. It's in the news all the time, isn't it? And just recently, it was reported that so far this year, there have been 9,000 gun deaths in the US. Very, very sad. There's even one school in Florida that has been rebuilt with bulletproof glass and curved corridors with concrete barriers, so that if a shooter gets into the school, the students will be able to hide behind the barriers for safety. Gun crime has got that bad. Bullets for the Christian are also a big issue. Not the kind of bullets fired from guns, but the trials of life that seem to get fired at us from all angles. Illness, relationship issues, financial difficulties, weaknesses of various kinds. Psalm 91, however, is a psalm of huge comfort. Because what it seems to say is that as Christians we are protected. We are shielded, we are bulletproof from all life can throw at us. So look at verse 1. The person who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will be kept safe in his shadow. Just like a student in Florida hiding behind one of those concrete barriers. The one who, verse 2, takes refuge in him and makes him their fortress will be protected. Just like somebody hiding behind bulletproof glass. And the reason it gives for our confidence is sound logic. It's nothing special about me, but it's because of who the Lord is. Look again at verse 1. He's described in two ways. He's described as the Most High, which means there is no one with greater authority than the Lord. He is the one who ultimately calls the shots in the universe. But he's also called the Almighty. There is no one with greater strength or power than him. He has all might. And so he is the ultimate place of protection, safety, and refuge. And that's why the Lord is pictured as a shelter. In the psalm, the Hebrew word for shelter has the idea of a secret place of refuge, like a wartime bunker, protecting us against those who might attack. Verse 2, he's a fortress, protecting us against advancing enemies. In verse 4, he's described as like a mother bird protecting her youth with her wings against birds of prey. You may have heard that story of a mother bird found in Yellowstone National Park following a forest fire. A ranger apparently finds her dead body charred and scorched by the fire. And as he prods the bird with a stick, out from underneath her wing comes these little chicks. They were protected from the fire under the safety of her wings. That is who the Lord is. The Lord is the Most High, Almighty, a refuge for all who trust in him. And that's why Psalm 91 for the true Christian is a comfort. We are bulletproof, it says. Nothing can touch us. But is it right, therefore, to conclude that if I am a Christian, someone trusting in the Lord, taking refuge in the Most High, I should expect a life free of any kind of suffering? I should have loads of money, always be healthy. Is that what it's saying? Well, there are two things we need to understand from this psalm if we are to understand exactly how the Lord is a refuge for the Christian believer, the one trusting in the Lord Jesus. And the first is this. The bullets of Psalm 91 are the bullets of judgment. So that the psalm is full of bad stuff, isn't it? But if we take a closer look at the threats that the psalm mentions, they are all far more serious than the trials of life. They are all things that attack without notice and result in death. Any one of the threats mentioned in the psalm on its own is enough to finish us off. So look at verse 3. It says, surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and the deadly pestilence. I'm not sure if you have any interest in fox hunting at all. Probably not if you live in Edmonton. Maybe 100 years ago. It's often debated in Parliament whether it's a good thing or not. But whatever you think about fox hunting, if you are the fox, it's not going to end well. A number of years ago, we can go to the next slide, they started to have an issue with rats at Downing Street. And so they employed Larry, the cat, on the screen. They drafted him in to deal with the problem. Unfortunately, probably because they fed him so well and gave him such a nice place to live, he didn't do a very good job at catching rats. So they drafted in this guy. It's called Brian. I met him yesterday. And he's a really, really nice guy. Very friendly. Unless you're a rat. And then you're stuffed, basically. If you're a rodent of any description, it's the end of the road. It would be the same if you were to catch the Ebola virus. Chances are you're not going to be around for very long. So the fowler's snare and the deadly pestilence of verse 3 are the same. They are end game scenarios. Verse 5 describes two types of threats, nighttime threats and daytime threats. You have the terrors of the night, things that prowl around, ready to devour, like wild animals or armies waiting in ambush. And there are the terrors of the day, flying arrows from advancing armies that verse 7 might wipe out 1,000 trained fighters. Or verse 6, illness and plagues that might strike whatever the time of day or night. Verse 13 talks about the fiercest of lions, not just your average lion, the fiercest of lions, or the most poisonous of snakes. This is the Belcher sea snake on the next slide. It's apparently the most venomous snake in the world. Just a few milligrams of its venom can kill 1,000 people. One bite and you're dead in 30 minutes. The common thing between all of these threats to anyone is enough to finish us off. They are all end game scenarios. It's game over. And it's not surprising then that in verse 8, it summarizes all of these disasters in the psalm as the punishment of the wicked. So Psalm 91 is not just talking about the trials of life, it's talking about death. It's talking about judgments, the judgment and death that we ultimately deserve for our sin, for our rebellion against God. Now at this point, it's helpful to take a step back and understand where the psalm fits into the rest of the Old Testament. We don't know exactly who wrote this psalm, but Jewish tradition ascribes it to Moses, which in a lot of ways makes sense because he wrote Psalm 90 and that is ascribed to him. But also because there are a lot of parallels between Psalm 91 and the story of the Exodus. What happened at the Exodus? Well, God rescued his people from Egypt. There were the 10 plagues, the last one being the plague of the death of the firstborn son. But God's people are kept safe because they paint the blood of the Passover lamb onto the doorpost and judgment passes over. He then saves them from the armies of Pharaoh as they go through the Red Sea, safe on dry land. And then Pharaoh's army is wiped out as the sea comes crashing into place. Because of the Lord, they were kept safe. They were bulletproof. But they were only bulletproof as they remained faithful to him. And what happens is, as they go into the wilderness, they start to grumble, complain. They start to test and rebel against the Lord. And what happens? Well, they end up experiencing pretty much all of the threats in Psalm 91. They are attacked by armies. They are killed by plagues. They are poisoned by snakes. And in fact, due to their disobedience, a whole generation dies in the desert. And only then are the people able to enter into the promised land. But even just before they enter, Moses warns them. Remain faithful to the Lord. Dwell in the shelter of the Most High and nothing will touch you. You will be kept safe. You will be protected. You will be bulletproof. However, in Deuteronomy chapter 8, we have this sobering list of detail of what will happen if they did turn their backs on him and turn to other gods. And again, it's basically a mirror image of Psalm 91. Plagues, famines, military defeat, afflictions of many kind if they turn from the one who rescued them from Egypt. Sadly, we know how the Old Testament develops. That's exactly what they do. They turn from the Lord to other gods who are not gods. And everything the Lord said would happen, happens, to the point when they end up getting kicked out of the land into exile. They grumbled, they tested, they turned from him, and they were judged for their sin. As generations go by, you can imagine that although this psalm was designed to be a huge comfort for God's people, they must have sung it with tears as they looked back and saw how that they turned from the Lord who rescued them. And before Psalm 91 becomes a comfort to us, and Psalm 91 is designed to be a comfort to us, we must acknowledge that we've acted in the same way. We have not dwelt in the shelter of the Most High. We have not rested in his shadow. We have not continually trusted him. We have not, verse 14, loved him as we should, or acknowledged his name, or verse 15, always called on him. As Romans says, we have all sinned and turned away. There is no one righteous, not even one. Therefore, we all deserve judgment. We all deserve the bullets of God's punishment for our sin. We all deserve every bad thing that's written in this psalm. It's important to remember that however bad we think life is, and sometimes we go through tough times, there is a day coming, far worse, where everyone will stand before God and have to give an account of how they've lived. Every unforgiven sin will be punished, and those who do not have a place of refuge, and remember, the Lord is the only place of refuge, they will face the ultimate bullet of God's judgment. But here's the question. If we have sinned, if we deserve judgment from God, how is it possible for this psalm to be a comfort for us? If we all deserve all the bad stuff and not the good stuff, what hope do we have? Does anybody know who this is? Next slide. Not that one, that one. His name's Chris Evans, he's an actor. Of course, we know that Captain America is a superhero with superpowers, but he's also got a shield. Now, does anybody know what his shield is made of? Vibranium. Thank you very much. And do you know where vibranium comes from?
Wakanda.
Wakanda vibranium. It is the strongest element on the planet. It doesn't actually exist, but that's okay. But it is so strong that it can even withstand a blow from Thor's hammer, who also doesn't actually exist. That's okay. But the good news is that this psalm, it looks forward. It looks forward to one who is a shield, actually. It looks forward to one who could sing this psalm without a tear of regret. One who had always and only dwelt in the shadow of the Most High, in his Father's care. The one who had always trusted, always loved, always acknowledged the name of the Lord Most High and called on him. And that person is, of course, the Lord Jesus. So let's get rid of Captain America. We don't need him on there. So when it comes to the question of how the Lord is a place of refuge for the Christian, we need to remember this. Christ is our shield against the bullets of God's judgment. He is our refuge. He is our safe place. Now, if you know your New Testament, you will know that verses 11 and 12 sound familiar. In fact, they are quoted in Matthew's Gospel by someone who you would not expect to be quoting Scripture, Satan himself. Matthew chapter 4 tells us that after his baptism, Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And let me read a couple of verses from Matthew 4. It says this: the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, and here he is quoting Psalm 91 verses 11 and 12, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. What is Satan trying to do? Well, he's basically saying to Jesus, look, Jesus, you are bulletproof. Do whatever you want. Nothing can touch you. But actually, Jesus replies, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. In other words, do not do what Israel did after they'd been rescued from Egypt. Do not grumble. Do not complain. Do not test the Lord. Do not sin. You cannot test the Lord and trust the Lord at the same time. They are opposite actions. Do not do what Adam and Eve did when they disobeyed in the garden and brought the sentence of death to all humanity. Do not do what every other person who has ever lived on the planet has done. Turn your back on God, living life, ignoring his lordship. Because when we turn our back on God, his judgment is to turn his back on us forever. But Jesus does what no one else in all of history has ever been able to do. He resists Satan. He remains sinless. He does not sin. He does not give in to temptation. And that's why he should have been the most bulletproof person on the planet. But what happens? We get to the end of Matthew's Gospel. He's found guilty by the religious rulers of his own people, even though he had done nothing wrong. He is handed over to the Romans to be sentenced to death. He is beaten, he is mocked, he is spat on. Nails are driven through his hands and his feet as he is nailed to the cross. Yet as he dies on the cross, he is taking the bullets of God's judgment for me, taking on my sin, paying for it all that I might be forgiven. 3 days later, he rose from the dead to be a shield for all who will trust in him. Far stronger than Wakandan vibranium. Now, it's interesting to note, when Satan quotes Psalm 91, he quotes verse 11 and verse 12, but he doesn't quote 13. What does it say? Well, it says, you will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Now, we know that Satan is described in Scripture as the serpent, as a lion that prowls around looking for someone to devour. By dying on the cross and rising from the dead, Jesus crushed the serpent's head, as was promised right back in Genesis chapter 3. As the psalm puts it, Psalm 91, he trampled on the great lion by providing salvation for us. And so he has become a shield to all who hope and trust in him. No wonder Satan left that verse out. So that means that as Christians, we are bulletproof. That's why as Christians, Psalm 91 is a song of comfort for us, because it was first a song of victory for the Lord Jesus. Psalm 91 teaches us that when it comes to the punishment of the wicked, even though we are rightly described by Jesus in the Gospels as evil, we will only observe the punishment of the wicked from a distance. The bullets of God's judgment will not come near us. We will not be judged because Jesus has taken it. Our shield. He's taken the wrath of God we deserve for our sin. Jesus for the Christian is like bulletproof glass between us and the judgment of God. He is our Passover lamb, shielding us from the sentence of death. Jesus for us is like that mother bird from Yellowstone Park. He's taken the fire of judgment, protecting us as those taking refuge under his wings. Christ, the Lord himself, is our shield against the bullets of God's judgment. Praise God. But actually, there is more than that, because it is also true that because of Jesus, when it comes to all that life might throw at us, we can have a confidence that Jesus is also our place of refuge. It doesn't mean that nothing bad will happen to us. But what it does mean is that any trial, any suffering that God allows to come into our lives will in the long run do us good. That is the promise of the New Testament. I want to read a few verses from 1 Peter that touches on this theme. This is what it says. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. Verse 5. You who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. You are shielded by God's power, by God's Son, the one who died and rose again. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come that the proven genuineness of your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him yet, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Through faith, we are shielded by God's power. even the bad stuff that comes into our life will do us good because of the Lord Jesus. A lot has been shared from the front recently on the topic of suffering. But the Christian believer trusting in the Lord Jesus can be sure of two things. One, whatever suffering they might go through, in the long run, it will refine their faith. It will do us good. As Romans says, all things work for the good of those who love the Lord and have been called according to his purpose. Suffering isn't good. But in God's economy, as we are shielded by Christ, it does us good. And the second thing is that whatever suffering the Christian might go through, and when it comes to the point, the ultimate point of suffering for the Christian, which is going through death itself, and one day if Jesus doesn't return first, we will all die. The Christian knows that because of Jesus, they are going to somewhere far better. Not because they're good people, not because we're good, we've got all the answers, but because we've got a shield. We are promised a place without suffering, without pain, sin or death. A place without any bullets of any description. So as Christians, we are not immune from the trials of life, but we do have a place of refuge, a shelter. The Lord Jesus, who will keep us safe from the judgment we deserve for our sin. All that life can throw at us. And that is why this psalm is such a comfort to us in so many ways. If we are trusting him, Psalm 91 is our song of joy. It's our song of comfort. It's our song of victory as we take refuge in him. Let me just read again from verse 3 in the psalm. This is true of you if you are a Christian. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. His faithfulness, not mine, his. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, or the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Christian, you will only observe it with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. Are you a Christian? Are you trusting in the Lord Jesus? Do you have a shield? Have you taken refuge in the Lord Jesus? What is a Christian? A Christian is someone who admits that they deserve the bullets of judgment for their sin, but who turns from that life of testing, of grumbling and sinning against the Lord. They turn from their sin in humble trust, trusting that the Lord Jesus paid for their sin on the cross, and being taken into a life of love for the Lord, knowing that he first loved us, acknowledging who he is, calling on his name to be rescued. Does that describe you? If not, I urge you to trust in Jesus. You can do it right now. Ask him to be your saviour. Ask him to forgive your sin. Ask him to become the Lord of your life. Start to dwell in him, rest in him, trust him as your Lord and saviour. And if you are a Christian, then sing this psalm with confidence. Whatever life might throw at us, even when it comes to that moment of going through death itself, know that you are shielded by the Lord who loved you and gave himself for you. In Christ, we are bulletproof. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. The Lord, your Son, the sinless Saviour who gave his life for the sin of many. We thank you that he is our shield. We thank you that he is our refuge. And we thank you that he keeps us safe day by day. We thank you that he will keep us safe on that day. The day when we walk through the gates of death, or the rivers of death, or however we would describe it. And we stand before you. Thank you that on that day, the Lord Jesus will be our refuge, our shield, our hiding place. And we'll be welcomed into life everlasting, to enjoy you forever. With Jesus as our Saviour and the Spirit as our guide. Father, we thank you so much in Jesus' name. Amen.